Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present the series Spiritual Warfare. This is Session 3, Establishing a Fear-Free Defense with Dennis Peacock.
Amen. We're now going to talk about establishing a fear-free defense. Let me say something about fighting. You can never become a good fighter until you believe in your defense. Because if you're fighting anyone with any power, you intuitively know that that power can really hurt you. And the only way that you will engage them is if you believe that you can defend from their attacks. You will never become a good fighter until you have a defense you believe in. It is a law. And all good fighters begin with developing a defense. Because when you've got a defense, then you can attack. And you cannot attack until you have a defense. Psalm 18, verse 30 is, "For God, His way is blameless, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him." That's defense. "For who is God but the Lord? He is a rock. And who is a rock except our God? He is the God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He has given me a shield of salvation. Thy right hand upholds me. Thy gentleness makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped." We're going to talk about fighting, knowing where your feet are. That's why David, as a warrior, is talking about finding your feet. You cannot fight until you find your feet. We're talking about what that means in the Spirit. Verse 37, after he's done all these things, what happens? What's the net result of finding a God who gives you a shield and who is a rock and who is a place of refuge and strength? In other words, he's girded you with all this defensive security. Now what's going to happen? Everybody say the first two words of Psalm 18, 37 with me. I pursued. I pursued mine enemies. Everybody say, I pursued my enemies. Spiritual warfare is not being the victim of Satan's attack. Spiritual warfare really begins when we can say, I pursued my enemies and overtook them. And I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. Thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose up against me. Thou hast made mine enemies do what? Turn their backs. When somebody or something turns its back, you have won. So on and so on. Now we left off in the last teaching saying that ultimately we cannot fight for ourselves because the power of the cross is in love. The power of war is also in love. This is the great secret of spiritual battle. As a matter of fact, it's the great secret of any battle. The last thing you ever want to do is fight somebody who perceives that they are fighting for those that they love. Because you're dealing with a whole new level of power when you engage the power of love. The power of victory on an ultimate level cannot be separated from the power of love. That's why Nehemiah stationed those men with those whom they loved. That's why older saints will drop back into personal comfort zones unless they turn around to the next generation that is coming and equip them. What keeps you and I as we get older from falling back into our private comfort zones and saying, I've had enough of war, is the love that we feel for our children who are the next wave. You see, the older I get, the less I really care about myself. That's an interesting thing. How many of you experienced that? I mean, when you were younger, it was a great thrill to do this and that and the other thing. But you get older, you say, hey, I've done that already. Why should I do it again? And, you know, I paid my dues and I've been at this thing a while. And, you know, why don't I just kind of back off? No reason to be so radical. You know, I've killed my bears and my lions. You know, let's retire. The only thing that will keep a saint from retiring is the next generation. And the only thing that will keep you in battle condition is being concerned about training your children and fighting for your children and fighting for the next generation to be able to carry this war beyond where we are. Now, our generation has fought through a lot of screwy stuff. We are seeing the end of false theology in the realm of eschatology. I personally do not believe any current eschatology has got all the right answers. I don't think it's going to come down the way the post mills think. I don't think it's going to come down the way the A mills think. I don't think it's going to come down the way the pre mills think. I think it's going to come down a way that none of us have thought. Okay? And what we are now doing is we are now beginning to discard those ideas that have kept our generation enslaved. And we've pretty well, I think a lot of us, have pretty well worked our way through the charismatic heebie-jeebies of all the strange and weird and wonderful things that went on in the birthing of the renewal that we couldn't separate out, you know, what was pizza and what was the Lord in our visions. And we've been maturing and coming into something. The charismatic renewal, some of it is now rediscovering historic theology, beginning to get some sound theological footings. We're beginning to stabilize so that we'll be a people both of the Word and of the Spirit. Up to this point, most charismatic Pentecostals have not been people of the Word. They've been people of the Spirit. But you can't go on because you can't separate the Spirit from the Word. They're inseparable. And now our generation has gone through a lot of changes, a lot of hassles. I think we've worked our way through, at least I hope, that we are no longer the terminal generation. We are no longer the sunum bonum of God's will. We are no longer the apex of history. And there may in fact be another set coming after us. We're no longer the terminal generation, which is the ones that are going to usher in the bodily presence of the Lord Jesus. I think a lot of us have gone through that and said, no, we see that isn't going to happen. There's too much yet to be fulfilled in the Word of God that we are not going to get to in our lifetime. Now that's a tremendous blow to our personal egos, because if there's anything you can say about our generation is that it's egotistical and it thinks that God has got things for us that He's never had for anybody else and probably never will for any other group. And we're working our way through that stuff. So our generation is being freed from a lot of Christian mythology. Now, as I'm freed, my responsibility is to turn around and help the next generation never get entangled with what I'm getting free from and give them the benefit of everything I know, because, you know, again, by analogy, I think we're maybe down on our own 3-yard line. I don't know of any cities in the world under siege. I mean, I hear about Pastor Cho's church in Seoul, Korea, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. He's got a church of 700,000 people. That's great. But I don't see any news articles in the paper. The mayor of Seoul has called a council meeting wanting to know what they're going to do about Cho's church. I've never seen a thing in print that deals with anything like that level of reality at all. And that's in a city that's probably got more Christian influence than any other particular city on the globe. But I'm still not hearing the war cry from the enemy there. Whatever's going on in Seoul, it hasn't made the newspapers in this realm. And we aren't into anything until the enemy begins to scream. I don't see blood in the nose of the enemy. I don't see eyes. I mean, when you get into it, I don't see damage on the devil's face relative to anything we're doing. Now, he has suffered a cosmic blow at Calvary. No question about that. But now God has left him over and said, now you guys finish the deal. He said, I'm not coming back. My Father has commanded me to stay seated. He said, be seated, sit thou at my right hand until your enemies become a footstool. You see, the reason I don't believe in rapture fever, and I do believe in the literal bodily return of the Lord Jesus, but I don't believe in rapture fever because Jesus is under the command of the Father to stay seated until his enemies have become a footstool. He cannot get up until those enemies are subdued. Does that mean everybody's going to become a Christian? No, because Matthew 13 tells us that. It means there's going to be a lot of wicked people on the earth and they're going to wax worse and worse, but there will be enough subjection of those enemies that Christ can say, okay, my kids have now entered into my spirit of victory and power. They've now learned to believe in me. They've now learned to apply my word. They've now learned to follow the Holy Ghost. There's enough victory. Then I can come back. See, this is what I believe. This may blow your mind, but I see this in the Spirit more clearly than I see you. Because our whole picture of warfare has been the enemy coming on us, and our whole dispensational theology is going to be, you know, after the devil whoops us and beats us up, Christ comes down and rescues us because there'll be nobody left. That's demonic garbage. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father because the Word of God declares He's seated there until the enemies have become a footstool. Jesus Christ is not coming back until He can say to the church that's got the devil down and pumping him, saying, all right, son, get off. Now you hit him enough. Get off. Get up. Now He's going to come back and pull us off and say, there's no point to this carnage anymore. You got him. Now, friend, I want to tell you that's weak applause. Because I just cut across everything you have been conditioned to believe in the Spirit. That it's the enemy that's got us down, pounding on us, and Jesus got to come and rescue us, saying, oh, my darling wimp, come, come, come. I'm sorry the devil did this to you. I really feel bad about it. But come up here, and I'll come down and get him myself the second time, because obviously I didn't do a thorough job the first. I thought he conquered him and made an open show of him. I thought he demonstrated to the cosmic courts that Satan was nothing compared to him as the Lord of glory. He's saying, son, daughter, I whooped his tail, and now what I want you to do as a corporate people is learn how to apply the same life that God the Father gave me to whoop him so that you can whoop him too. And when you got him down and you've beat on him long enough, then I'll come and pull you off and say this battle has no more redemptive value. That, friend, is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been preaching bad news. I want to preach good news. It's good news that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That's good news, friend. It's good news that He is not coming back until we have entered into His victory. Because whatever assignments our Holy Father has for us in the age to come is going to require whatever it took to get in us, to get him down. We cannot go on until that is in us. And he will not go on without us, which is a mind-blowing reality. I mean, he could go on without us, but he is determined he will not go on without us until his wife learns to fight and conquer the way that the husband did. Now let's talk about defense. We get to attack. You're going to finish up on learning how to defend. Now, there's only three reasons to ever attack. One is to probe for weakness. How many of you, I mean, can even fathom, and I know, listen, I know I sound like a crazy man a lot of the time, but my craziness has been brewing for years. I do not expect you to see what I see in a flash, because it didn't come to me in a flash. It is something that has been marinating in my spirit over and over and over and over and over for years. All we're doing right now is like we got an axe. We're chopping in to false stuff. All we're doing is splitting stuff. We're splitting the enemy's head, letting air get in there. Don't expect more than that. The things going into your spirit, you don't even know what's going in. But your theology and your Bible verses will eventually follow. Right now, we're piercing the darkness, if you will, with the sword of the Spirit. Now, there's only three reasons you ever attack. But how many of you have even thought about probing the enemy? You see, when a demonic spirit comes against you or your wife, you know, so we react. No, we got to come to the point where we attack it and we start probing. Where is its weakness? Will it run when we use the blood on it? Friend, there's some spirits that when you use the blood on it will laugh at you. But every single demonic spirit has got some weakness that it cannot control in the spirit. You say, now you're getting real. When the enemy attacks me, I want to probe him. What's there? What does he know? You ever watch two high-level fighters fight? There'll be a period where they watch each other and there'll be... And then they'll disengage real quick. Because what they're doing is doing a quick probe. Who knows what? Who can do what? What did I see? Back. Okay. Back. And usually after two or three of those, then one of them thinks he knows where the other one is at. Then boom! Because you probed, you found out what's there. Second reason you attack is to disable. Sometimes you disable, but you don't destroy. Third reason is to destroy. There's three reasons to defend. Three reasons to retreat. Number one is preparing your attack. Defense can be offense. The cross is the perfect example. Tom Marshall said it as clearly as anybody I've ever heard when he dealt with 1 Corinthians 2:8, which says if the devil had any idea what Calvary was going to do, he'd have cut down every tree in Galilee. He'd have made sure there wasn't a tree in Judea. He'd have made sure there wasn't a tree in the Middle East. If he had any idea what that cross was going to do, he would have made sure that Jesus died of old age if it was possible. And that's a fact. Now, Jesus, as he was attacked, fell back into a defensive position from which he could attack. Oh, I see this in the Spirit. First time I saw it, way back in 69 or whenever it was, because I'd come out of my fighting and I read the book as a fighter, I saw Pilate jamming all over Jesus and he didn't say a word because he was dropping back. He was in the Spirit saying, come on, baby, come on. Push me a little harder. Come on. He said, I'll just give you one little goodie here. If I wanted to, I got a bunch of angels here, legions of them, smoked 186,000 of your boys in one night, but don't pay any attention to that. Come on. Come on. Come on. And he dropped back into a position which appeared to be a defeat, but was in fact his counterattack, which was devastating. I want to say a high level to some of you leaders. As we do our work in cities and nations, there will be those who oppose us. And we need to discern in the Spirit when to invite them in. Come on. Because I'm going to bring you to a ground that I want to fight from. Thou hast taught my hands to war. Second reason you go into a defense is because you're responding to an all-powerful attack. In my first dojo, there was a brother, big black brother, weighed about 260. He had legs like that. I mean, those things were trees. And when he would start kicking and coming at you, you better get out of the way. Because you weren't going to block it. I tried to block it, and I shattered my forearm. Oh, wham! That big meat. One night I got in a macho mood and I said, come on, I'll block anything you do. And he said, all right. And I didn't. Okay? When there is something with that much power, you've got to get out of the way. That's when you retreat. Now, friend, there are times when the enemy will attack you with such strength You're an idiot to stay there in one place and battle it out. You must backpedal and you must get back to where it is that you're going to go. And a good fighter knows when to retreat. The only people who never retreat are those who are dead. Hear me. Only dead people never retreat. There's another reason you let somebody come in, and that is so that you can attack him as he comes in. One of the things that about the martial arts is that people don't understand is if you're really good on defense, somebody can punch you, and as those punches are coming, you're hitting their arms in such a way it disables them. And so it is in the spirit. When you learn your craft, you can be attacked by the enemy, and as he comes in, you're damaging his ability to attack you again. Now you say, Dennis, that's from Spaceland. No, it isn't from Spaceland. It's fighting. Thou hast trained my hands for war. Now, how do we build a fear-free defense? That's the first task of a fighter. Square one, faith is negative faith and tends to bring to us exactly what we're afraid of. How many of you know that? Cited there Job, Job 3:25. What did Job say? That which I greatly feared has come to pass. I know some of the faith teachers have really carried this down the road and they got some great teaching. Doesn't mean I buy into all the faith message, but they got some great teaching on fear. Fear brings to pass what you are afraid of. That's why you can't fight and be fearful. Because you will make happen the very thing you're afraid is going to happen. You say, how do I get beyond fear? How do I get beyond fear? I'll tell you how you get beyond fear. I remember the first time I had somebody coming at me who was really a good kicker. And I'd been a boxer. I didn't know anything about how to deal with a kicking thing coming at me. And kicks, man, legs, if somebody hits you with a leg, it'll literally lift you off the ground. That's when they pull it. That's not when they're trying to kick through you. That's if they pull it. And I looked at that thing and I said, my God, I was petrified because I didn't know what to do with the leg. So what had to happen? I had to learn how to deal with a leg. I had to learn the technique of blocking so that when a leg came, I wasn't afraid anymore because I knew what to do with it. Now, how many of you are afraid of spiritual warfare because you still view it in a mystical way? You haven't even studied the attack. All you do is feel it. It hits you. In all that, you maybe been kicked by the devil 380 times with the same technique, and you've never studied what it is. Because warfare is a mystical experience. Oh, I'm under warfare, I'm under warfare, I'm under warfare. All right, Dodo, what's the technique? Hello, am I communicating? You see, because we've been victims of the devil so long, victims never study the attack because they expect to be a victim. Victims never train. If you got a victim's mentality, you're never going to pay attention to what the enemy's doing to you because you're already set up to be a victim. Enemy comes against Jan and I want to know what that attack is. I've seen that before. That's a roundhouse. That comes, starts about here and comes up around my head. And I know exactly what I have to do to get away from that kick. Now, I can back up and do what I do. I can move into it. I can move to the side. I've learned what I can do to deal with that attack. But I know what that is. I've seen it before. And I've trained techniques in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm speaking in the Spirit. I have trained techniques about the blood and the cross and the power of Calvary and whatever it is technique that I've got in the Spirit so that when I see that foot coming at Jan and me, I know what it is and I know what to do. And if I do it, I'll win every time. And the enemy doesn't want us to know that. The enemy wants to keep you and I victims so that warfare is something that happens to us. We never study the technique. We never train saying, the next time you kick me, Jack, with that, I'm going to bless you. I learned to think that way in the dojo. There was one black belt in there who was mean and nasty and who whooped everybody that came in. And my goal became, someday, friend, I'll see you down the road. And someday I did. And I remember I kicked him and he turned green. And it wasn't that I wanted him to turn green. I was after that look in his eye that said, my God, where did you come from? How many of you want to see that look in the eye of the enemy in the spirit? So that when he comes after you or your wife, or your kids, or your husband, or whatever it is, you have been doing your practice, Jack. And when he comes on, you got him. And you say, hello, in the name of Jesus. Ding, ding, hello. I'm so glad you dropped in. You say, Dennis, that's insane, is it? What's the Word of God teach about what Jesus did, the demon spirits that got around Him? They begged Him not to deal with them. We say, oh, that's Jesus. Well, I thought Christ was in you, the hope of glory. How many demons have ever been afraid of you? You say, come on in, baby, I've been waiting for you, sucker. Come on, and let's do it. Ah, don't cast us out. No, 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 no. Say, this is different. Up till now, we've been coming in thumping on you. You can't do that. You don't have that power. It's not till a millennium. Only Jesus can do that. Blah, 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 blah. Boom, 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 boom. You don't have that power. It's not till a millennium. Only Jesus can do that. Blah, 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 blah. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But it takes faith. Everybody say, I'm not a victim. Everybody say, I'm going to study his attacks. I'm warming up to this thing. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fearful fighters almost always lose. Now, if we're going to have a defense that works, we got to know when to stand. Ephesians 4:16 says stand. When you take a stand attitude, you're saying, I have the power to destroy this attack. Now, how sensitive are we in the Spirit? See, I felt the Holy Spirit get in here about 2 minutes ago. Because we've been victims, we've understood nothing about fighting. And because we've been victims, we didn't know that we could fight on the offense. We didn't know how to fight. We didn't know how to build techniques. Now we're talking technique here, okay? If I'm fighting you, depending on what I'm going to do with you, I'm going to assess your strength. Now, let's make it in the spirit. If something comes at me in the spirit that I believe my defense is stronger than that offense, I'm futurach, I'm rooted, I cannot be moved. My attitude would be, come on, I am going to counter what you do because I'm stronger than you. You cannot move me. I have technique to deal with whatever it is you're going to do with me. Now, you better be right when you take that posture. Because if you misjudge your strength against its strength, you get hurt. But if you become a skilled fighter, you can feel it. Believe it or not, in the natural, you can intuitively feel the strength of your opponent. You say, Dennis, how? I don't know. All I know is after you fight for enough years, you can feel it. You can smell it. The tragedy is, after 25 years in the Lord, how many good fighters are there in the spirit who can smell the strength of the enemy? We can do it in the natural, and the Bible says first the natural, then the spiritual. Where are the master fighters in the Spirit? We haven't grown them because we haven't had the theology that would grow them. Well, praise God, that day's come to an end. My son is going to fight in the Spirit like I never did. And he isn't going to have to get the blood on him that is on me to do it. I'm a bloody man. But there's a generation coming after that's going to know what I know without being bloody, or having all the sin and the scar tissue that's in me. You understand we're talking revolution here? This is revolution in the Spirit. It is a literal turning in the Spirit from victim to aggressor. I hate it when I see the enemy beat up on people. I've always hated bullies my whole life. And Satan is a bully. When I see him beating up on people that have no idea how to fight, I say, come to me, baby, come to me. I'll put the blood on you. I'll put the blood on you. I'll get the blood of Christ into every one of your spiritual pores. Come to me, baby. When to dodge? Jesus said, Matthew 5:39, resist not evil. Now you say, you never even thought about this because you didn't think about fighting. How do I know the difference between stand and resist not evil? Can I tell you what it is? Stand is when you're fighting something that you're not going to move from. Resist not evil is when you turn and it goes right on by and you never even touch it. I know what I'm talking about. This is real reality I'm talking about. There are times you stand and engage. Boom, 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 boom. There's other times you go, psh, boom, go right by. Are you prepared? You got to know when. Because if you engage a false attack from the enemy, which is designed to take your attention and your energy and divert you, you've just blown it. I've got attacks coming at me on a daily basis that the enemy wants me to drop down and get into it, and I don't want to drop down. I go, bush, 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 bush. Now, if you're going to fight, you got to know the difference. When to engage, when to resist not. Especially elders. Elders in a local church got to know what is worth putting their time and energy to. There'll be attacks and there'll be this and there'll be that. And the enemy's trying to get you to make a fight out of something that God's saying, don't resist it. If you resist it, it'll get bad. It'll get infected. It'll become something that the devil wants to make. Let it go. Don't touch it. Listen, let me get real. Jan and I, when we're in war between one another in the spirit, the enemy's after us. I got to know when not to touch something she says to me that hurts me. And she's got to know when not to touch something I say that hurt her. Because if we stand and make a fight out of it, now we've created an infection when the enemy just wants to say, psh, let it go. Psh. Dennis, do you know about this? Psh. Are you aware of this? Psh. Fighters have to know what to engage and what not to engage. When to retreat. I'll yield the ground,
but I'll be back.
Lord, you know who's carnal by the laughter, don't you? Of course, you also know who made the statement, don't you? You know, I got a thing on my wall Dick Bruner gave me some years ago, one of the best things anybody gave me. It said, some defeats are more powerful than any victory. I got some defeats in me. Screw up, sin, mistakes I've made. That I don't know how I could have learned it any other way. God knows, but I don't know. Some of my defeats are my sweetest memories. Because you know what? I learned what not to do. And some of those defeats, I've been defeated on some battlefields where I have developed a divine attitude. And my attitude is, yep, you got me. No question about it. You smoked me off the field. But I will be back. Because I'm back in my spiritual dojo. I'm doing my kicks and my punches, my blocks. I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm training now to come back after you. See, how many of you, because you viewed warfare as something that happens to you as victims, how many of you are training for battlefields that belong to you, that you've been chased off to because you didn't have the equipment to fight? But because you viewed warfare as something that happened to you, you haven't even understood that that's your field. And the reason God allowed you to get defeated was to get you back in the gym to work out. I've been working out for one battlefield on my mind the last 8 years. I'm pumping iron in the spirit. Someday, God helping me, I will be back. When I get back, It won't bless some people. Let's begin to wind it up. I'm able to stand on God's reality. I know, as a fighter, I know that whatever comes to me had to go through God's hands to get to me. If I didn't know that, I'd go crazy. How many of you in here believe God's dealing with the church about the sovereignty of the Almighty God? If it got to me, it had to go through Dad's hands first. Which means He would never give me a snake, even though it looks like a snake. It's wiggling, it's got fangs, and it bites. But it's a fish. All I got to do is find a way to turn it from a snake to a fish. It's what Jesus did at the cross. He turned the biggest snake ever was into a fish. I know what God has already done for me. Like David who killed the bear and the lion, we build off history. When you fight the devil in some battles, the only thing that's going to make you stand is what He's already done. So when He comes and He growls and He hisses and He does His trip, you can say, hey, I remember when He did this for me, and I remember when He did that for me, and I remember when He did this for me, and it's going to go the same way again. Now, if you want to do it, let's do it. You see, a lot of what we do in the Spirit is... See, the moment the enemy sees us go into our Pentecostal retreat, what's he do? He wade right in. Oh, Jesus, help us. May God grant you, my brother, within this next year to have the enemy come to your door and you invite him in. Not running away, making signs of the cross and hurling out feeble invectives in the name of Jesus. You can't win anything. The Word of God is not magic. Just using the words aren't going to make anything happen. The Word has to have faith. It's faith that makes the Word begin to work. And faith cannot come out of the mouth of a victim. There is no faith in the mouth of a victim. Oh, it's you. Come on in. I've been waiting for you. In fact, come with me to the farm. I've got some pigs I'd like you to meet. Okay, let me drop down because I'm running out of time. Stand, dodge, retreat, defense. Armor, mobility, and blocking techniques. There's three things you must have in your defense. Armor. That is raw power. Some defenses must be so powerful that they're your bread and butter. They're your bread and butter. They're something that you know so well that it's raw power. Secondly, mobility. All good fighters have to be able to move. There's no such thing as a right-handed or a left-handed fighter on a championship level. In the martial arts, you learn to fight not only both sides, but with all kinds of feet positions. Lateral, this way, one foot, on your toes, whatever. You do not fight right hand or left hand because there is no such thing as right hand or left hand to a good fighter. You fight. And you don't think like that. The object is to be trained to the point where you don't think right, left. You're beyond that. You're not even thinking that way. And you have to be mobile. Now, what does that mean? That means if the enemy comes against me, I may be in the wrong place. I may be out of God's will. And some attacks against you are designed to show you that you're out of God's will. And you don't want to stay and fight because what God's trying to do is chase you back into the line. You see, if you know what your spheres of authority and ministry are, and I've done this many times, I've got into other fields that weren't really my field because I thought it was a... I wanted to be in the field, but it wasn't my field. Now, when the enemy attacks me in a field that's not mine, I better not stand and fight. I better be able to discern, wait a minute, I've got to move back into my field. Because that's what this attack is about. This isn't spiritual warfare. This is a gift from God that He's let the enemy on me to chase me back into my field. Now, a good fighter has got to know when to move. You have to know when to move. Blocking. I can only fight in my own armor. David and Saul, 1 Samuel 17. The question is, what do you know? What do you know? What is your armor? Ladies, I was out running the other day. And I was tired. And I've learned a technique when I run. And I'm not a great runner, but I've learned a technique. Because I understand technique. And I run by breath. And the tireder I get, the more I have to concentrate on making my breath be the rhythm that is my rhythm. And I was praying about this teaching and I said, Lord, You've got to give me practical examples. Because a lot of what I'm talking about, some of you can't relate at all, But ladies, remember those of you that took Lamaze and natural childbirth. Do you understand what Lamaze was about? Lamaze was not about keeping you from hyperventilating. Lamaze was not about dealing with pain. Lamaze had nothing to do with that. Lamaze had one basic root idea that works every time. That is to bring you to doing something that you can do so well that you can hold on to it in the midst of unbelievable pressure. I remember watching Jan in the... I can still got the rhythm. Hey, how about that? I remember watching Jan with Adam going into that first set of contractions. It was like... But by the time it got down to 8 or 10 contractions down the road, it was... You could see her eyes began to dilate. She said, my God, this is no game. And she's sweating and snorting and pant blowing. That's what warfare is all about. Warfare is the ability to trust in the techniques that God has given you and to hold on to them no matter what the pressure is. You see, the great fighters are the ones who in the midst of all this activity coming at them can hold themselves in what they know. Jesus, Jesus. Now, my question is, what do you know? Every single one of you has been given techniques that were designed for you, specially and particularly. If He's counted the hairs on your head, friend, He has got special warfare techniques that are tailor-made for you and who you are. What are they? The mind blower is that you don't know, and some of you are 30 years old and the Lord or older. And you still don't even know what your fighting techniques are. And I'm not on your case. I'm just saying that as an illustration as to how far back in the cave we are. Because we have believed that warfare is a victim thing that happens to us. We don't know why it comes on and we're glad when it leaves and we tell our friends when we're under it. That's mumbo jumbo. That's voodoo. That is not Christianity. I am basically a defensive fighter, believe it or not. I came to the point where I said, I can block anything that comes at me, and I really could. Because I learned certain things that I could do so well, it was really hard to get around them. That's what I knew. What do you know? Make a list of what you know. Those are your God-ordained defenses. And if you can identify what they are and build them up and strengthen them and pump iron in the Spirit, some of you have a revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ that is many times stronger than us, the others of us. Some of you have a revelation of the authority of Christ's Word. Some of you have Scriptures that have been given to you as your boom, boom, kick, boom. Boom! Doesn't matter what you do. Kick! Come on, kick! Boom, boom! I do, I block! Because that's mine! It's me! It's given to me! Kick me with anything, I block it! Because the Holy Ghost gave that verse to me, and that verse defends against all attacks that come at me in that way. Where's our corporate armor? We're the ones among us that have a word of healing. That's what they've been given. Man, if this is a corporate battle, and it is, we got to find out the men and women who have the Word of the Lord in that area. So when the enemy comes in, we say, get him, get him, get him. He says, come on, let's do it. Boom, 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 boom. Because God gave that to me. What are your resources? What do you have? What do you know? You back me up. I know what I... In the natural, you back me up. I know what I know. I'm rusty, but I know what I know. What do you know in the Spirit? That's a fear-free defense. God, I sound foolish now, but I'm just telling you, I don't care if he weighs 350 pounds and is in the NFL. I got some things I know that will drop him. And I don't care how bad he thinks he is. Unless he knows more than I know about a couple of things, he will go down. Because I was doing my exercise to learn that. Now the question is, in the Spirit, what do you know? Now, you can't attack until you got a defense that is strong enough to not be afraid anymore. Because when you attack, you're going into his attack. If I attack, I'm going to be attacked. I can't attack until I can defend. But if you've given me a defense, God, if you've trained my hands for war, then when I attack him and he starts doing his trip to me, I've seen it. I know what to do with it. I'm trained. Where are you trained to attack? You say, man, that's space talk. Well, it isn't space talk. It's victorious Christianity. It's be seated at my right hand until I raise up a whole army of warriors. We're talking revolution. No more victim. No more beating dummy. I'm not the devil's heavy bag. If anybody's going to be a heavy bag, he's going to be my heavy bag. The only thing that is really a challenge to you is what you've never seen before. That's why you would enter what we call open tournaments. The only thing that ever scared me when I learned how to fight was techniques that I'd never seen before because I didn't know what to do. We've got to open ourselves up to whatever technique the enemy wants to throw against us. We need to guardedly but prayerfully in Christ open ourselves up to whatever techniques are there so that we can learn to recognize them and build our defenses. We must clear our feet of all entanglements. The first thing good fighters do is find their feet. I wish I had more time on this, but you cannot fight with your feet entangled. You must find your feet. Even if it's only a foot apart, you must get into a stance. A good fighter will immediately scope out what is around him because he's got to be able to move and maneuver. You have to. Now, you can't fight with your feet entangled. Relational entanglements, being involved with people you shouldn't be involved with. Financial entanglements will keep you from fighting. Non-productive projects, debilitating habits. Okay, now, as we're fighting, when the enemy attacks, we got to watch our responses. If you have a compulsive response that's destructive, identify it. Because the enemy is going to attack you through that door every single time. The purpose of fighting in the gym was to show us our destructive responses so that we could get healed. How many of you besides me have got some destructive responses in the spirit? That when the enemy attacks you, you always respond the wrong way and the battle gets worse. You got to identify it and shut that down. So you got to learn to think like a fighter. What did that last battle show me about where I don't defend myself or my wife or my kids? What did I learn from that last fight? What techniques am I going to use the next time the enemy comes at me in that way? Let me close. Jesus had to get into this thing 40 days before he was under enough pressure to really get into a fight. The Spirit drove him out and made him fast for 40 days because you can't really find where you're at until you're under enough stress. Stress reveals your weaknesses. Now, we have been afraid of stress. We've resisted stress. We've rebuked stress. But friend, a good coach will always take his players to stress. It's not until the last 20 minutes of the practice when your players are absolutely wiped out and exhausted that you even find out where they're at. It is in the last 20 yards of the race that a man's character reveals itself. If we're going to attack the enemy, we've got to be willing to get under stress and embrace stress and then watch what we do under stress. Because it's under stress that our weaknesses will be revealed and it's under stress that our strengths will be revealed. Good fighters win. I want everybody to say as we close, in Christ, I'm going to become a good fighter. In Christ, I am going to become a good fighter. And I will build up a fear-free defense. And I will build up a fear-free defense. May God make it true for us. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.